What's up, DC? Welcome back to another edition of Lockdown Wizards, episode 60 for us, guys, with SB Nation's Bolts Forever writer Ben Mehich and myself, Anthony Citadino. We are your hosts. You are now Locked On Wizards. Thank you so much for tuning in whenever you may be making this a part of your day. Go subscribe to the Locked On Wizards podcast on the Locked On Podcast Network, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you may listen to podcasts. Go throw us a follow on Twitter at Locked On Wizards. We have a great show ahead of us and a ton to get into. The Wizards' latest loss against the Toronto Raptors, heartbreaking loss Monday night. And, guys, we have so many questions to get into that you asked on Twitter, our loyal subscribers. So, yes, we will be getting into all that later in the show. But first, we want to let you guys know that today's episode is brought to you by Locker Room, a live podcasting platform which we will be using soon. Ben, my brother, hope all is well. We just got done watching a heartbreaker, my friend. Gary Trent Jr. played a big role in the heartbreaking on Monday night. Wizards take a big L to the Toronto Raptors, 103-101. The Wizards led the entire game. The Raptors, they took their first lead in the fourth quarter. And yeah, we saw some lackluster defense, and Ben, it really ended up with a Gary Trent Jr. buzzer-beating shot with about 3 or 4 seconds left. He took it down the length of the court. Looked pretty comfortable doing it, made it look pretty effortlessly, and took it right there to the last second. At the end right there, Howell Neto was very upset. He thought he got a push off of Gary Trent Jr. He fell. I want to get your thoughts on this. What does this loss mean right now in the season? Was this loss, the nail in the coffin for the season? Was Howell Neto fouled? I mean, should we be upset with this loss? How you doing? And give us your thoughts, my friend.
My friend Anthony called this a heartbreaking loss, but I'd say 95% of Wizards fans jumped out of their seats in jubilation when they saw Gary Trent hit that shot. It's interesting that we're recording this on the eve of the national championship game, because every loss counts at this point in the season. The Toronto Raptors aren't making the playoffs. The Washington Wizards aren't making the playoffs. What counts right now are the lottery balls. And Russell Westbrook hit that shot at the end. It looked like he was going to lead the Wizards to victory against the Raptors. Funnily enough, I wanted to just do the Monday morning, Tuesday mailbag. But Anthony was like, man, let's talk about the Raptors game in case something crazy happens. And lo and behold, Gary Trent hits that shot, gives the Washington Wizards another lottery ball. You mentioned the flop by Howell Neto there. You just got to play defense straight up. He didn't do it. Wizards lose. Really not much else to mention here. Anthony Gill got some playing time. Drew a charge at the end there, a key charge. Garrison Matthews, 5-for-7, 17 points. Fred Katz, as he always does, smartly pointed out that the Wizards, upon gaining a 19-point lead, kind of stepped away from finding Matthews and Davis Bertans, who were leading them in the first half. Of course, the Wizards blew that 19-point lead and lost the game. So, really, another Wizards game, I guess, right? Another loss. And at this point in the season, a good thing for the Wizards, who need all the lottery balls they can get, because this roster is putrid, this coaching staff is confused, and the roster makes no sense. So the more lottery balls, the better.
Wow, Ben. Our favorite host, Ben, sounds incredibly enthused. Win or lose, I feel like you would have had the same reaction. Can we get your take this far in the season? Have we lost you? I don't know if Scott Brooks has lost the locker room, but have we, the Lockdown Wizards, have we lost you, Ben?
You're never going to lose me. I'm here. I mean, we record a podcast every day. Who else is doing what we're doing? We're talking about the Washington Wizards every day.
No one.
Even Scott Brooks takes a day off, and we don't.
Homie. I don't want to – yeah.
Scott Brooks takes most of the days off, but I didn't say that. A lot of people would say that.
No. We can't afford to lose you. But, Ben, you're right. At this point in the season, it is – I mean, when we're talking in terms of lottery purposes, they do want to lose as many games as possible to try and, you know, get the highest pick, right? That still is not the plan for Russell Westbrook, Bradley Beal, Scott Brooks, and, you know, in company. So they're going to continue to – try and win games, of course, but Ben, obviously, it's just not happening. 32nd loss of the season, and it doesn't look like it's getting any better, Ben. And this game, I mean, they led for three quarters, led for the first half of the fourth, And Ben, they just they really lost it there at the end. Toronto was just getting stops, hitting shots. I know Davis Bertans stepped up. He was hitting shots, and so was Garrison Matthews, Ben. Denny Avdia, too, second double-double of his career. He played 40 minutes. Ben, what did you see went wrong, though? I mean, I know from what you said, I mean, losing is good at this point in the season, but, I mean, what went wrong there late in the game? I mean, I really just saw just a complete change on the defensive end. Just there was no more stops being made, and the Raptors just had such great energy to close out the game.
The Raptors moved the ball well. Like, no matter who's playing for this team, and right now, obviously, they're not the championship team they were a couple of years ago. They had DeAndre Bembry playing point guard. He's not a point guard. Malachi Flynn, 34 minutes off the bench. So they're kind of in the similar boat as the Wizards. They're playing a bunch of young guys that they're trying to figure out what they have in. But no matter what, the Wizards or the Raptors have an offense. They move the ball well. They get their big men involved. The guards swing the ball. The Wizards, down the stretch, they stopped doing that. Russell Westbrook went 1-for-9 in the fourth quarter, I believe. The ball stopped moving. Garrison Matthews and Bertans were the only players who had good nights, really, on the offensive side of the ball. Didn't touch it anymore. And that's what the Wizards do. They shoot themselves in the foot time and time again. Little interesting note here, Anthony. The team's winning percentage is 35% right now. Last year, they were ninth in the Eastern Conference at 35%. So this team is just as bad as they were last year, despite trading John Wall for Russell Westbrook, despite Scott Brooks having another roster, a year to evaluate the roster, despite Tommy Shepard having a year to build on this team. This team is somehow just as bad, if not worse, than last year. So not to sound like I'm poo-pooing on this team or what the Wizards have been doing, but
– No, you're not. You're not. Ben, they scored – Ben, listen, you should be. You should. They scored 15 to close the game out in the fourth quarter.
Yeah.
No, it's not. It's not looking bright, and no one should be blaming a person in your position to be saying these things, because that's what the season has come to, and that's what, you know, Tommy Shepard has really given to us. Scott Brooks has given to us.
Yeah, and here's the thing, though. We knew Scott Brooks's teams had trouble closing games back in his day in Oklahoma City. Like, he relied on his offensive talent to kind of get the ball and figure it out. That doesn't work. It doesn't work even when you have a Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook. Certainly doesn't help when you just have a Russell Westbrook in the roster that they played with on Monday night. So when you say things like, they scored 14 points in the fourth quarter, 15 points in the fourth quarter, like, of course, like, the team doesn't move the ball well. They're amongst the last teams in the league in passes per game. They rely on isolation basketball without enough talent on the team. It works when you have James Harden, Kevin Durant, and Russell Westbrook in their primes. It doesn't help. It doesn't work when you have Anthony Gill, Chandler Hutchinson out there who combined for 1-for-11. This offense needs to be more creative. Scott Brooks has to be more creative. And at this point in the year, he hasn't shown that he can do that. And it's hard to do that. The roster is not good. And the coaching staff hasn't been good enough to elevate the roster. So it's all very bad. But the good part is lottery balls. And I hate to say it, but that is good for the Wizards because they need talent desperately. And the way you get talent is through the draft if you're the Wizards, because they're not going to sign anybody. They're not going to trade for anybody. So you have to land on these top picks. And if you're the Wizards, you need to get one of the top four picks, because these top four picks, who we'll talk about a little later, are game changers. So, Anthony, before we do that, before we talk about who the Wizards might end up getting, I want to talk about Locker Room. Locker Room is the first social audio platform made for sports fans. It's the app that everyone is using nowadays. It's free. And once you're in, you can talk to me, Anthony, other fans, athletes, and insiders at real time. It's the perfect place to start or join the conversation. You'll find fans just like you on Locker Room for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and honestly, all you can imagine. We'll be hosting those soon at Lockdown Wizards. We'll share at Lockdown Wizards Twitter once we go live. Go download the Locker Room app now. It's currently available on the iOS device. Be sure to create a profile, link your Twitter, and join the Locked On NBA for updates. You can follow us again at Locked On Wizards on Twitter so you know when we go live. It's Locker Room, and it's changing the way we talk sports. Anthony, you know I'm a big car guy. I absolutely love my Honda, who I call Harold. Whenever I have issues with Harold, I go to rockauto.com. It's always reliable. It's low price. Why would I ever want to break the bank, spend twice as much money for the same parts when I can go to rockauto.com, save some money, but also get the same parts that I want? It's the best prices by the same professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Go to rockauto.com right now. See all the parts available for your car or truck and write Locked On in there. How did you hear about us box? So they know we sent you. It's Locked On at rockauto.com. Get all the sports news you need in under 20 minutes with the Locked On Today podcast. Host Peter Bukowski updates you on the latest news in every major sport with the help of our local experts. Follow the Locked On Today podcast on the Audacity app or wherever you get podcasts. Anthony, on Monday, we put out a call to action for our faithful listeners and said, you know, let's do a little Monday morning mailbag that you're listening to on Tuesday. I know that these guys have been anxious to get involved as a show, maybe a little preview for what we're going to do on Locker Room. But it's a good question we got from Agent Zero Burner on Twitter, given that we're on the eve of the championship game. At this point, the listeners know who the national champion is, but that doesn't take away from his question. He asked, who is the ideal draft pick for the Wizards in terms of fit and talent? And that's presuming the Wizards have a top five pick.
Ooh, Ben, I think I know your answer here, man. Out of all these top picks, I would love the Wizards to get, I mean, really, really any of these guys that we're talking about. I mean, when it comes to Cade Cunningham, Suggs, Evan Mobley, I mean, any of these guys. But Ben, my pick, if you're picking anyone, I want to go with the Cade Cunningham. His type of skill set seems to be absolutely NBA ready. He killed it at Oklahoma State. And yeah, Ben, he seems like just an absolute like superstar college talent that is that's his game's going to translate really, really nicely to the NBA, and I hope it does. I'd love to go with him, but I would not be mad with an Evan Mobley or who's currently playing for Gonzaga, Suggs, who just hit that unbelievable shot. I mean, Ben, I don't know if you saw, but that the semifinal game for the Final Four, he hit an absolutely unbelievable half court shot.
Yeah, that's the thing about the Wizards, right? Beggars can't be choosers. There's not one position that they have on lock besides Bradley Beal's position. And even that's kind of up in the air because you could call tomorrow and say, I want out. Mm-hmm. So if the Wizards can get a top shooting guard, you get a top shooting guard. If you can get a power forward or a center that you desperately need, you do that. I think you're right. The Wizards could use more star power, someone that can just reinvigorate the franchise, someone to build around. Because if Brad leaves, the Wizards need someone to build around tomorrow. And
it's more than likely going to happen. Brad, right. Like at some point, Brad's going to leave before his prime's over, right?
The Wizards aren't in a position to even consider it, though. I mean, they just need to grab the best player at the position, right?
Or 100%. And that's, I mean, Ben, for that question right there, as if you were in the GM spot, would you approach every draft like that? Or would you go more based on position?
That's a great question, Anthony, and something I've been thinking about with the Wizards. They have been going with just best player available, right? I mean, you drafted Rui Hachimura, and then a year later, you draft Denny Abdia, who's really plays the same position. I get it. They're hybrid forwards. They can both play multiple positions and whatnot, but really, if you're going to play them, they're probably going to be the second forward on the floor, mm-hmm. and the Wizards said, you know what, we'll see what we have in them, and if it push comes to shove and you have to pick between the two, at least we'll know, and I think that's the way the Wizards have to keep going, because nobody on this roster is a blue chip sort of franchise face. I mean, exactly. Rui and Denny both have a ton of potential. Rui has shown that he can play.
Really, not mad at those picks at all. I don't know about you.
Not at all, of course, but the Wizards need to just take the best player available. And this is where talent 100%. Evaluation is really interesting, because you could ask anybody. I mean, it's really tough. I get that Cade Cunningham is probably the consensus top pick, but hey, Jalen Suggs could be the best player in the draft. So can Evan 100%. Mobley. So can Jonathan
Kuminga. We don't know. No one knows right now, right?
That's what I mean.
I mean, we only can go off of what these rankings are, and these rankings always get jumbled no matter what it is. But Ben, I agree 100% with what you just said. You can never go by position unless, like, this is the NFL. I mean, if you need a quarterback, you need a quarterback, right? But this is the NBA. You go best player available no matter what it is, and that's just what it is. That's what the Wizards should keep doing. And Ben, if they get a top three pick, they're going to be very pleased with the
selection. They need it. That's the thing with the Washington Wizards. They need it. It's not like they're one of these young teams that have already like young players on their roster that they can build around, that franchise faces. They're not a Memphis Grizzlies that have a Ja Morant. They're not a Pelicans with a Brandon Ingram and a Zion. they're a Wizards team with some interesting young players, but nobody that really moves the needle. So the Wizards, this is where it gets interesting for me, Anthony. Who's going to make these picks? If they don't trust Tommy Shepard, how
I mean, Ben, really, we're talking
– You can't let him make these picks, right?
Well, right now they're in a position, Ben, that they're literally two decisions away from a total rebuild, right? With Bradley Beal with the and Russell Westbrook, they're pretty much in that era for what they're trying to do, and they're pretty close because Brad, I mean, he's 27 years old. He's not old, but he's not young. He's not young like these guys are. So I mean, the train is leaving soon. I mean, they have to really, you know. I don't want to say it, but, you know, pooper get off the pot, you know, right? Like at some point to try and figure out what their identity truly is. But Ben, because at some point, are you going to continue drafting like these young guys to go with Brad and Russ? I mean, to see what, I mean, that
they can't afford,
like
to
we always talk about, it's kind of like a half rebuild right now. So yeah, Ben, if they do get a top three pick this year, I mean, they really should just continue considering this rebuild because let's say they get a Cade Cunningham. I mean, why? I mean, right now at that point, that'd be a fine time to rebuild with all their young talent.
You get a Cade Cunningham. If you're the Wizards, you need to make sure he has the ball in his hands a lot. You can't put him next to a Russell Westbrook and Bradley Beal because he's just going to end up another Troy Brown.
He won't get the ball.
That's not why you're drafting him first or second overall, whatever he ends up going.
Not why you're keeping Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook around.
Exactly.
You get top picks like that, you should be like growing the team around them. And yeah, no, Ben, this will be a big swing, especially if they're able to get one of these kids, even a Jalen Suggs or an Evan Mobley. All these guys are they're top picks, so that will be quite interesting to see because they're entering that zone of, hey, we gotta make a decision.
The ownership group in Washington has to be more assertive here because if you're going to make a front office change, you can't let Tommy Shepard pick third where you're choosing between a Cunningham, Kuminga, Suggs, or Mobley, where these guys are so close where any of them can go number one. You can't let your GM who you're going to fire pick that guy. You have to have someone in place who you're going to trust for the long term. If you're going to rebuild and have a
top
three.
That's the thing. We don't know if Tommy Shepard is going to be out at the end of the season. Right now, it seems that Scott Brooks will not start another year with the Washington Wizards. I don't know if it's that if it is that definite for Tommy Shepard, right, Ben? I mean, I really don't think it is right now. But we just don't know what's going to happen after this season. But you're right. You want ownership needs to make that decision. That's completely on them.
It's really
literally it all falls. Yeah,
it's really important. I mean, besides, before this draft, this isn't a regular Denny Avdia type of draft, with all due respect to Denny Avdia, or a Rui Hachimura type of draft. If you get a top four pick in this year's draft, it could alter the face of your franchise for the next 10 years. That's how good some of these players are.
It will be a draft like that if they fall to 10, though.
If they fall to 10, that is the absolute worst case scenario for the Wizards. If they fall out of top four with this record, that's the absolute worst case scenario for the Wizards.
Very, very easy to, I mean, with the new rule, Ben, I mean, the bottom top three teams have the same percent, I'm pretty sure, a 17.5% chance to get the top three pick or whatever it is. And, hey man, there's teams down there right now. It's the Timberwolves, Houston. You got Orlando. I mean, there's a lot of teams that are right there with the Wizards. Cleveland. That
oh my god,
you never know. You never know.
I can't believe we're talking about this.
Seriously. Listen, and you're talking to a guy who has the same conversation with everyone about the Knicks every single year about their lottery chances. This year for them, it's not looking like it. Hopefully, if they can continue their success for the next 20 or so games, then they can hop into the playoffs. But I'm not saying don't get your hopes up because I don't want to be a downer, but I'm just saying, yes, it's, you know, lottery night. There's heartbreaking nights, lottery night. That's all I'm saying. You never know. I mean, New Orleans got the number one pick.
And the Wizards were one lottery ball away from getting Zion, by the way, if you want to break there. But, yeah, the Wizards can't go wrong with any of these guys. They need anybody they can get. They're talent-deprived. They need a young player to really reinvigorate the team. What they have now is not cutting it. And Rui and Denny will have to take another massive step if they want to become those players. And right now they don't have any of those guys on the roster. So, hey,
I guess you throw a dart at the wall and hope you get Cunningham, Kuminga, Suggs, or Mobley, and you'll be completely satisfied with that if you're the Wizards.
But yeah, Ben, we got to get to more questions after the break. But first, we've been telling you about Built Bar all season. It's the best tasting protein bar on the market for a while now. Built Bar is amazing, low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, amazing tasting protein bar with 100% chocolate on all bars. Now is the time to find out which bar is the best, and it is Built Bar Madness. This is coming in right after the national championship, but it is the Built Bar Championship. We got coconut brownie chunk versus cookie dough chunk. These are the championship finalists. My favorite, I can't lie, it's cookie dough chunk. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of coconut lovers out there. Go to builtbar.com and vote for the best tasting protein bar ever, and you'll find out who the winner is tomorrow. So go to builtbar.com or at builtbar on Twitter. Remember to use that promo code LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order. That is LOCKEDON15 to get 15% off your next order at builtbar.com, and check out tomorrow who won today's matchup and who will become the national champion of best tasting protein bars. Guys, we also got to get into Bet Online. Bet Online is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Ben uses it. He loves it for all his NBA, his college hoop, and NHL. Bet Online even covers award shows, TV shows, reality TV, real-time updated odds and prop bets on almost anything that you can imagine. Bet Online has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets, and it's free to sign up today. Head over to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Make sure to use the promo code LOCKEDON. Get more analysis on the top prospects available in this year's NBA draft with the Locked On NBA Draft podcast. Scouting reports, draft rumors, mock drafts, and full coverage of March Madness 4 days a week from credentialed draft experts. Follow the Locked On NBA Draft podcast on the Audacity app or wherever you get podcasts. Ben, we got to get into more of these questions from our faithful listeners, from our faithful subscribers, and we put out the question today, and of course, we knew the questions were going to flood in about our favorite coach, Scottie Brooks. Ben, were you surprised by this? I mean, how many questions did we get about Scott Brooks?
I'd say probably 70% of the questions we got were Scott Brooks related. So obviously, for time's sake, we didn't want to name everybody. I think Wizards Lead asked a more poignant question in the sense that I think Anthony and I both agree, and I think most people around the NBA, most people who cover the league, understand that when your team's 17-32, 15 games below 500, with the expectations the Wizards came into the season with, mm-hmm. having Russell Westbrook, Beal, re-signing Bertans for $80 million, I get the injuries, I get the COVID, I get it hasn't been ideal, but the record is what it is, and the Wizards haven't been very good even when healthy, so... We're under the impression that Scott Brooks won't come back. So Wizards Lead is asking you, Anthony, who do you want to replace Scott Brooks if and when he's not brought back? I don't know if you have any names off the top of your head, what direction generally you'd like to see the Wizards go in, but I guess it's an interesting question posed by Wizards Lead there.
Wow. I mean, wow. We are just giving up on Scottie Brooks, huh, guys out there? Oh, everyone on Twitter seems to have given up on Scott Brooks. And honestly, I'm more new to Twitter, and wow. I mean, honestly, seeing the Washington Wizards NBA Twitter world, it's just vicious for Scott Brooks. But hey, what can you do? That's like that in most sports markets when you are the worst defensive team in basketball. Any names that really jump out? Not really right now that are on the market. There's always an array of names right after the season when guys are fired, knocked off the chop block. Right now, there are a few notable guys that have not really gotten the love that we may need to talk about. Mark Jackson has been sitting, you know, doing TV since the Warriors. Like right before. So he's been sitting there with Jeff Van Gundy, love what they do. Sam Cassell also has not been really given that head coaching job yet. Right, Ben. So we know that he's gotten interviewed and such. There's many others as well. I'm not really,
So you want you want him to go with a vet. You want him to go with a veteran head coach. Is that what you're telling
me? No. I'm not saying that at all. Because I think, honestly, tell you the truth, Ben, I think this all depends on what way they're going to go.
Yeah,
if they're going to try and keep Brad and Russ, and if they're going to want to bring in like a veteran center or like other vets in, then that is like that could be a completely different coaching hire than getting trading Brad, getting rid of Russ, bringing in a Cade Cunningham or a Jalen Suggs, and then beginning like a rebuild with a handful of picks in your hand or in your pocket. Ben, I don't know, but if they're going to go that way, they should definitely get a younger coach. If they're going to try and keep Brad, they're going to try and keep Russ and the gang and try and bring in other all-stars. Ben, they probably should go with maybe more of a more veteran coach, someone who's more apt to dealing with teams like this. So yeah, I don't know. I mean, this really all ties into with how what direction they're going to go. Ben, do you have any? Are there any coaches that you are eyeing, and maybe any coaches that are on staff that you're eyeing?
Ryan Richmond, who's on staff, he coached the Go-Go last year. He's known for being a creative head coach, gets along well with the players. He's very young. He has been on the team for the last couple of years. He has a good rapport with a ton of the players on the roster. He has familiarity. That I wouldn't necessarily hate. I'm a very firm believer in the Wizards needing to have outside assessment. So, again, while Richmond would, I think, be a decent head coach in the league, perhaps even a very good head coach in the league, I think they need to hire someone who can assess the roster from an objective point of view. We've talked about Wes Unseld Jr. in the past. Maybe even going outside the box a little. Jerry Stackhouse is shown to be a very good coach. He has ties to the organization. Obviously, he's a younger head coach, ex-player, so he can get along well with the players, has that sort of connection there. But, you know, you can learn a lot about a team in the way they hire head coaches, I think. Look at the Jazz. Just, you know, 5-6 years ago, they hired Quinn Snyder. Absolutely changed the total direction of that franchise. And he was
he's done an amazing job.
He's done an absolutely amazing, fabulous job at that organization.
He has exceeded any expectations going into his first year, Ben. Now they're running away with the West. He's done a fabulous job, honestly.
Yeah, so he was hired almost under the same thing that you talked about. This is younger head coach, first NBA head coaching gig, if I recall correctly. He was an assistant coach in Atlanta and with the Lakers. Obviously had previous head coaching stints, but he was hired as this young coach, an up-and-coming coach, someone you can develop the team with, but quickly became one of the best coaches in the league. And you learned a lot about the Jazz from that point on, because the Jazz, outstanding evaluation from the players, from the management, the coaching staff, grade A+. Salt Lake City is a city of 150,000 people, and they have the best basketball organization in the league, right? But outside of San Antonio, the Lakers and Boston and so on. Utah Jazz should not be a good basketball team, but just by pure talent evaluation from the top down, they've become one of the best basketball teams on the planet. That's what the Wizards need to do. They need to hire these sort of unheralded guys and women who may not be the most household name, but know what they're doing.
Well, hey man, when you have an ownership group, when you have people in place that care, that want to put people, front offices in place to put together a great team and put together a great coaching staff and draft great prospects. And sure, I mean, the Utah Jazz, they didn't let, Ernie Grunfeld run for 16 years to like really run this, the franchise to like where it is today.
You're right.
Ben, when you have, I mean, right, what we're talking about, this takes decades, honestly. I mean, it really does. When you
it
get the people, like, and it takes a while. So, and I'm not saying, I'm not saying that it's going to take decades for the Wizards to be, to be at the top of the East. I mean, it might, but again, there are always shorter routes with, I mean, given the draft, given how players pan out. Right. And decisions on coaches. So Ben, this is one of the biggest decisions, making, going into the next season. We don't think Scott Brooks is going to be along for the ride, but yes, the Wizards will be moving forward with someone. And Ben, I think I'm right there with you. I think they should go outside hire. And yeah, we don't know. I mean, if they're going to try and keep their veteran players, maybe get a veteran coach, maybe get an older seasoned coach. If they're going to commit to this rebuild, I'd say go try and find a younger guy, maybe a Wes Unseld, you know, side, junior. He, right? Legacy, you know, the legacy to the franchise, obviously. And yeah, Ben, I don't know. I would like someone who's experienced, to tell you the truth. Regardless of someone who's right for the job. I mean, because Ben, I mean, how many coaches do you want to recycle before, you know, doing this all over again? They kept Scotty for a while.
They kept Scotty and Randy Whitman for a while. I mean, Randy Whitman was clearly not going to be there long term, but they extended him just because they made the playoffs. And I think this organization needs to move the pole up, so to speak, in terms of their goal. Because if the Wizards do somehow make a play-in spot and Scott Brooks is given an extension or rehired, I mean, what does that say about the team, that they're just cool with getting swept in the playoffs? Like, that doesn't send a good message to anybody in the league or the fans.
That's a question. That's a big question too, though, Ben, right?
And it's a good one.
Since I've known you, you have always said the Washington Wizards, they promote people, they praise people when maybe they shouldn't. And it might come to the time where we might be sitting here saying, well, we got another 3 years of Scott Brooks.
I think is
that a possibility right now? Sure, it might not be a high one, but is it a pop? Do you think it's still possible?
Sure. I mean, if they make a play-in spot or a playoff somehow, not looking good, but somehow if they squeeze, it's Eastern Conference, they're like 5 games behind, right? If they go on a little win streak, they're right there again.
Right.
So it wouldn't shock me if they did. Bradley Beal's probably going to be back at some point soon. I think a smart, forward-thinking franchise would think about shutting Bradley Beal down soon, letting them get that top pick, because nobody can justify making the playoffs over to getting one of these franchise-changing players. But the Wizards somehow try, and they want to, and preserving jobs is the Wizards' way. But
talking on this platform, right? But maybe if we were in the locker room asking that question to, like, Brad or Russ and Scott, these guys, they'd have a much different outlook. They're like, you know, right? I mean, just like every other team. You always think that every team is hungry, like wanting to win, right, ready for the playoffs, and which is great. But yeah, Ben, like you said, there's a lot at stake when it comes to a couple games, you know, and a future cornerstone for your franchise, right? When we're really talking about if you get swept in 4 games or if you win 1 game, it's in 5 games. I'm right there with you. When you're looking at it, like, as a realistic standpoint, yes, for a franchise, you want the pieces for sure.
The Wizards need one. It's not even that they want one. They need one. Simply making the playoffs, getting another 15th pick in a draft as deep as this is not going to cut it. Simply not. It shouldn't even be in the Wizards' mind. What they should do is look to give these veterans some rest, see what they have in Abonga and some of these other young players that they haven't gotten much playing time with, and maybe they'll find out that they might have had a player there all along and keep them around and then land another top pick. But this is a good segue to another question by Jonathan Kennedy before we wrap up here. My boy Jonathan,
yeah, go ahead.
Who I know back from Wizard of Oz. Great guy. He talked about, and he asked, we all joke about firing Brooks and if we get so-and-so, the Wizards would be better, like we just talked about. But what are your honest opinions on how the Wizards are viewed by the people in the NBA universe? Not Twitter or fans, but actual GMs, agents, and et cetera. Are they a laughing stock? Anthony, this is a great question from you, because this is your first season covering the Wizards. And obviously, right, coming from a Knicks standpoint, just a general NBA standpoint, I want to ask you, Anthony, that's a good question for you. What is your perception of this team as a franchise? Do you think of them as kind of a laughing stock, as a disappointment? Like, how do you view this team?
I don't view them as a laughing stock whatsoever. I think, to tell you the truth, the Knicks are having a great year. And obviously, when the Knicks are having a great year, for them, they're not having the greatest year, but they're having a great year for them. Whenever they do have an okay year, or whenever anything happens at MSG, it's like the 4th of July. Everyone's so happy and everything's masked. They have been a laughing stock. They have been an absolute circus for the past, 15 years. And Ben, compared to the Wizards, no. I mean, a couple years ago, the Wizards were a competitive playoff team. No, John Wall ran into a handful of terrible injuries. Bradley Beal was a lone star there. They never Ernie Grunfeld never made the stride to get them another All Star. They gave them Marshawn Gortat, but shout out Gortat. He was a great center, absolutely. Nothing against him. He had a great career. But Ben, I don't think the franchise itself. No, they're not a laughing stock at all. Right now, they're having another lottery season. Last season, you can't really judge. It was the COVID season, and they didn't have John Wall all season. And obviously, they were going into this season. They were last year all season. We were going through the whole season with the perception that John Wall will be back next year alongside Bradley Beal, and they will try and get back to that playoff form. And of course, the trade happened, brought in Russ. Still with those expectations. No, they're not a laughing stop. They're going through a transition, Ben. 16 years of Ernie, right? They're transitioning from that to Tommy. And I know you said Tommy's been here just as long, but now he's fitting into this role. He's making decisions. And so far, his first free agency wasn't the best, right? Signed Robin Lopez, Raul Neto, Anthony Gill. Nothing really, no big difference makers for defensive purposes. Like they needed, from last year. Last year, they're the worst defensive team in the league. This year, again, same. And bringing Russ in, I mean, we love Russ, right? He puts up great numbers. He has these accolades every game. He's breaking different NBA records like he always has. But still, there's two capable guys on this team, and the offense runs literally through them. Ben, they're not a laughing stock by any means. They're not a joke. This is not a circus at all in my mind. This is a transition period. And they're at a crossroads. They need to figure out what they're doing with their front office. They need to figure out what they're doing with coaching. And they need to figure out what way this team is going. You got Bradley Beal. He's 27. He's about to be 28 years old. You might as well already mark him at 28 because this season might be a wash. I know that they're not far out of a playoff spot, Ben, but it's looking pretty set right now for the East. And those playoff teams are really like one game apart, a half game apart right now. So, Ben, I'm not sitting here saying the Washington Wizards are a laughing stock at all because there's many more teams that have had seasons like this, awful seasons, that, 5, 6, 7 years in a row. So I'm not sitting here saying they're a laughing stock. I'm just sitting here saying that they're going through a transition period, but they need to make a decision on these things. They need to figure out, right? If they go and wishy-washy, they keep Tommy next year, they keep Scott next year, and they don't really change anything. And if Brad and Russ are back and they didn't really bring in anyone that much different, Ben, that's ridiculous. Then you start to get to the point where you're like, what's going on? This is crazy. But right now, I'm not going to sit here and like go crazy about it because it's one season they're trying it with Russ. It's Russ has been here for 30 some odd games. 40 games and or I'm sorry 50 games but yes, Ben, a laughing stock, no, I'm just, yes, just a transition period, tough season, what can you do? Not a laughing stock though. You've covered the team forever, okay? I've covered the team 1 year and yeah, Ben, you know the entirety of the history inside and out. So Ben, are they a laughing stock to you? Because you've been riding along as all of these listeners. So what do you think?
They used about to be. This question? They used to be. When JaVale McGee, Andre Blatch, Nick Young, Jordan Crawford, and Co. are walking around and literally pooping in each other's shoes and whiffing on lottery pick after lottery pick, they were a laughing stock. They were the Sacramento Kings. They were the Minnesota Timberwolves. They were the Newark Knicks. There was no difference between those teams. There was no organization. There was nothing. I understand that Ted Leonsis is not a perfect owner, but when he bought the team, he made significant investments and they paid luxury tax. They did have good teams not long ago. You're right. They had a prime John Wall who ended the playoffs, was an MVP caliber player. Bradley Beal was coming into the zone. Otto Porter, they paid a lot of money to stick around. Marching Gortat was they tried. Yeah. And it doesn't always work out. And the Wizards had some bad luck. They are not a laughing stock. They are a bad basketball team, but they're far from a laughing stock. They're not the Kings. They're not the Wolves. They're stepping out of that. But you can't even allow yourself to teeter on the edge of that, though. If they bring back a Scott Brooks and make no changes and kind of just want to run it back, then you're teetering on the edge of entering that territory, and the Wizards can't afford to do that. I think they need to make serious changes that shows the fan base that they're serious about winning games, and they have made a real commitment. This team is $1 million away from the luxury tax. It's hard to believe, but they are. And they paid Davis Bertans a lot of money. They want to keep Thomas Bryant around for a long time. They obviously made that trade for Russell Westbrook. Right. These aren't trades and signings that laughingstock teams make. Some of them weren't.
And they found a gem in TB.
Yeah, and look, they found a gem in Davis Bertans too. It doesn't mean that Davis Bertans is worth his contract, but he's very good.
Exactly, right.
I mean, the Spurs traded, the San Antonio Spurs, who have the greatest reputation in basketball, traded him just to create a roster spot for Marcus Morris. And what are they doing?
Right, and I love that.
He became one of the best shooters in the league.
And I love how you always do your due diligence, Ben, because, yes, that Greg Popovich wanted to hold on to a Davis Bertans, right? But they were making room for Morris. But, you know, he ended up screwing them, which is hilarious, honestly, because, the Morris twins, I really would have loved to hear what that conversation was like between him and Greg Popovich, because, hey, talk about two tough guys, right? Two intimidating guys you really don't want to talk to. But that question, yes, like, it's easy. It's so easy to always go off on any team during the now.
Yeah.
After 40, 50 games, so easy to go after these guys, you know, tear Russ down after every game with, like, eight turnovers and all that. And that's great. But here's the thing. The Wizards, they're not going to be in this hole much longer. They just won't be. They're not that type of franchise that will just always, always be in that hole for, what, a decade on end? I mean, no. I mean, like, the Knicks and the Timberwolves, like teams that you brought up, yes, teams like that, ownership like that, they create it. I mean, and you're right. I mean, Ted, he may not be a perfect owner, but everything you just said, he tries. He does try. So, I mean, having an ownership group that tries to put forth an effort, yes, there's our ownership groups out there that literally live for this stuff. Mark Cuban, you know, our friend over in L.A., obviously, and obviously J.D. Buss, because this is their life. But all these billionaires, I mean, let's just face it, these are like business ventures to most of these guys and gals that are a part of these groups. And yeah, Ben, so right now, I think for Wizards fans, it's kind of just like sit tight and see what they choose to do in the offseason, because this is the biggest choice here. You have so many choices to make. What are you going to do with your front office? What's going on with your coaching? Where's Bradley Beal and Russell Westbrook going? Yeah. Okay. So that's what it is.
And I think that's right.
So once we have those answered, then we can move forward with a lot. But right now, this is a standstill unless they go on a run. And Ben, it's not looking good.
This season in terms of wins and losses, I'd say it's probably over. But you're right. There's a lot of unanswered questions with this roster, with this team, with the coaching staff, front office, ownership, and co. Look, it wouldn't surprise me if they try and make another big splash, if they go after Masai Ujiri, if they go after one of these big top front office members.
Try it. I mean,
they got
not?
It. And the Wizards,
shot for sure.
The Wizards, unlike a lot of teams do, like they tried getting Kawhi Leonard, they tried getting Paul George, they tried getting Masai Ujiri last year. They whiffed. They tried getting
KD in 2016. Couldn't even get an interview.
I don't even know if the effort was there, but the effort was basically like, oh, he's from DC, so let's hope he picks up the phone. But yeah, that's Ernie Grunfeld, and the door is shut there, so we won't even talk about that. Oh man, I guess you mentioned it. Why not, man? They wanted KD and they got Jan Mahinmi. Come on, we won't go deep.
Sorry, no. I'll bring it up. Yeah,
yeah. No bueno there. But Lockdown Wizards fans, we appreciate you submitting these questions. It's a nice change of pace. Maybe we'll continue doing this throughout the rest of the season. A little Monday mailbag Tuesdays, right? That makes sense.
Yeah, right.
We're gonna submit it on. If we post it on Tuesday, we get the questions on Monday. It's a Monday mailbag Tuesday, so. Lockdown Wizards fans, thank you for submitting those. We'll be back with you again tomorrow. A heartbreak loss, but guess what? Cade Cunningham might be on the way. If you haven't already, don't forget to subscribe to the podcast, Spotify, Apple Music, wherever you get your podcasts. It's Lockdown Wizards for Anthony. We'll be back again tomorrow.